So we start. Welcome back, everyone, to our regular Tuesday operations update on Libya. As you know, the NATO Secretary General is in the United States meeting with government officials, U.S. troops, and National Guardsmen. Today, he's in Austin, in Texas. He's there in the United States to express his appreciation to the U.S. service personnel who have contributed to NATO-led operations, including in Afghanistan and in Libya. In a speech he gave at the World Affairs Council of Atlanta, Georgia, yesterday, the Secretary General stressed that time is running out for the Gaddafi regime. In the Secretary General's absence in Brussels, I can tell you that the Deputy Secretary General, Ambassador Bisognero, will chair the NAC tomorrow with our operational partners to exchange views on our operation in Libya. This meeting is part of our regular discussions, the regular discussions that ambassadors have every week to assess progress in our mission. Before I hand over to Brigadier General Claudio Gabellini, the Chief Operations Officer for Operations Unified Protector, I would like to address one other issue. We have seen a number of reports in recent days of migrants from Libya dying at sea. These are tragic stories. They show the desperation to which people in Libya have been reduced by the Gaddafi regime. The humanitarian crisis is the direct result of the regime's violence. It is still more proof that Gaddafi and his followers have lost all claim to legitimacy. In particular, we are deeply concerned by reports that Gaddafi's regime gunmen forced migrants into at least one boat in recent days, which sank soon afterwards. If confirmed, that would be just another proof of the regime's disregard for human safety and human life. NATO condemns this kind of actions utterly. We have also been asked what action NATO is taking to protect migrant ships at sea. And let me be clear, NATO's mission is to prevent attacks on civilians and civilian populated areas in Libya. That is what the United Nations Security Council mandated. But while they are carrying out that mandate, ships under NATO command will always respond to calls from ships in distress. This is their duty under the law of the sea, and to suggest that our ships' captains would do otherwise is unfair and is disrespectful. For example, I can tell you that on the 26th of March, NATO ships responded to information that two migrant ships with over 500 people on board were in difficulty, and a NATO ship used its helicopter to airlift two women and a newborn child to medical help. The ships were then provided direct assistance by the Italian authorities. After this press conference, we will share some pictures with you about that operation. So NATO is doing what it can to render assistance to those in distress at sea, and we will continue to do so. And we will continue also to do everything we can on land to prevent attacks on civilians and civilian populated areas in Libya. With this, I will hand over to Brigadier General Gabellini in Naples. General.
Thank you, Brussels. Good afternoon. I am Brigadier General Claudio Gabellini, and I work in operations planning as part of the Operation Unified Protector located here in Naples. It's my pleasure to provide you with a quick operational update today. In recent briefings, you have heard about the maritime component, and today I will focus on the air campaign perspective. Buon pomeriggio a tutti, sono il generale brigata Claudio Gabellini dell'Aeronautica Militare Italiana e qui a Napoli mi occupo della pianificazione operativa relativa all'operazione Unified Protector. Oggi ho il piacere di fornirvi alcuni brevi aggiornamenti operativi sulla missione in corso. Siccome durante precedenti comunicati è stata già affrontata e trattata la parte relativa alla componente navale, oggi pomeriggio mi concentrerò principalmente sulla campagna aerea. And now back to English. In the past week alone, we have engaged multiple rocket launcher systems, command and control facilities, anti-aircraft weapons, military bunkers and ammo facilities, tanks and armored fighting vehicles. We are having an effect and we are diminishing Gaddafi's capacity to issue orders to field troops and to fly regime jets. And at sea, we have cleared sea mines laid by pro-Gaddafi forces in the approaches to the port of Misrata on April the 29th. Two of the mines were destroyed by NATO mine countermeasures vessels, and the third, which has not been found, is no longer considered a serious threat. We've also swept the approaches of Misrata Harbor and consider that there is no immediate mine threat for the time being. Our maritime forces are prepared to respond to any similar threat. We fully recognize how important the port is to the citizens of Misrata. While the decision to open and close the port rests clearly with Misrata Port Control, we note that since NATO vessels destroyed the mines and cleared the areas, more than 15 vessels have entered the port. Staying with Misrata, we reported on April 29th that we have pushed pro-Gaddafi forces back and that the anti-Gaddafi forces had taken control of most of the city. Since then, pro-Gaddafi forces have continued to shell the citizens of Misrata with longer-range artillery, mortars and rockets, indiscriminately firing high-explosive rounds into the city. Although it's a real challenge for us to strike military targets in and around population centers like Misrata while minimizing the risk to innocent civilians, we've been working hard to prevent attacks by pro-Gaddafi forces. Since the 2nd of May, we have destroyed over 30 military targets in the Misrata area, including a dozen main battle tanks, three rocket launcher systems, three self-propelled artillery pieces, and 15 ammunition storage sites. And multiple strikes against command and control buildings in both Misrata and Tripoli were conducted. Last night, we engaged a command and control facility in downtown Tripoli. I would now like to show you an example of dynamic targeting. In this video, you will see an airstrike on a building that was identified as a location where pro-Gaddafi forces were shelling and engaging the civilian population from this building. The aircraft identified the target, and I would ask you to note the precision of the strike. Can you go with the video, please? Okay, you can clearly see the buildings engaged. That's the blast, and you can see exactly that the aim point was exactly at the building where people were shooting at the civilians. Here's another example, and you've noticed that the buildings behind the building we were looking after have not been touched. So this is a good example of the accuracy and the precision of the strike we carry on, protecting the civilians from being hurt by pro-Gaddafi regime forces. Again, you will see now the two buildings right in the middle of the screen. From those buildings, there were snipers fighting at people, and the buildings were empty. In a couple of seconds, you'll see the impact of the weapons. First building, the right, and the second building on the left. The other buildings around it, despite of the smoke, weren't touched. Okay, thank you. And also, I can show you this afternoon some sophisticated photos taken from within the aircraft, and these photos are directly showing you which is the precision of the precision-guided munition. We're talking about smart bombs. I'll come to that later on. And could you please now show the pictures, please? No. Okay, look at the building, and look at the yellow circle in the right on the screen. It's written crater behind that. You can see two holes. This is exactly the part of the building we wanted to hit. So again, we're not talking about a building. We're talking about the part of the building which was of interest for the attack. So you can also see that there are no other damages to the building. Again, this is another building, and you can see the exact precision of the hole right in the middle of the roof of the building. And I'm talking, of course, about military targets. Next picture, please. Okay, I want to point out here the point that look at the debris on the right of the screen. There should be a red circle around that, difficult to see from here because of the light. But you will see that all the debris were at stopped before passing the road, and after the road you could find some civilians' buildings. So the debris have not gone far away. They stayed within the perimeter of the military site we were attacking. Next slide, please. Yeah, here you can see a couple of bunkers hit, and you can see the holes right in the middle of the bunkers. And again, you can exactly see that we were not just hitting bunkers, we were looking for some specific bunkers, and that's the result. And you can also see, apart from the hole in the roof, that no damages have been carried out in the surroundings of the bunkers. Next slide, I think we got one more. No, okay. Okay, since March 31st, NATO and partner aircraft have been conducting an average of 150 sorties a day, all aimed at protecting Libyan civilians from the violence by Gaddafi regime forces. And since the beginning of the operations, nearly 6,000 sorties have been conducted. Over 2,300 of them were strike mission on approved targets. Every day, we observe a changing situation on the ground, and we make adjustments to our operations to ensure that our effort has the maximum effect. All NATO targets are military in nature and have been clearly linked to the Gaddafi regime's systematic attacks on the Libyan population and populated areas. Every strike conducted by NATO and partner forces is necessary, legal, moral, and executed in a manner in which civilian casualties are minimized to the fullest possible extent. Target sets have been chosen by the North Atlantic Council, the NAC, and are only engaged when strictly necessary to achieve the required strategic campaign effect. All these targets, again, are directly linked to attacks or threats of attack against civilians and populated centers. And these targets have been engaged in the most professional way, using the state-of-the-art precision-guided munitions. Well, are there challenges and complexities associated with this aspect of the missions? Absolutely. And let me tell you that NATO takes all the measures to ensure that our operations are conducted with the utmost precision and respect for the law. Consider that at every level, from the commander down to the aircraft crew, targets are thoroughly analyzed, constantly assessed, and carefully verified until the very last minute. Our goal in planning and executing all operations is to minimize civilian casualties to the fullest possible extent. And I can say with the highest degree of confidence that the equipment and technology used by the NATO and partner aircraft and aircrew are some of the most sophisticated and precise in the world. We use the most accurate systems and professional crew, and we only use smart weapons. They are all precision-guided munition with very exact guidance systems. Our mission is clear. We are committing to protecting the citizens of Libya until there is no longer a threat of violence towards them. Our mission will be completed when three military objectives have been met. First, all attacks and threats against civilians have ended. Second, all regime forces have returned to their bases. And last but not least, full and unhindered access to humanitarian aids is granted. Until these objectives are met, NATO will continue to keep up the pressure on the Gaddafi regime and its forces. Our preference, for the sake of the Libyan people who are enduring hardship and suffering, is that these objectives are met sooner rather than later. There should be no doubt in anyone's mind that our mission is an important one, and we are protecting the people of Libya daily. We've been very clear from the start that our mission is to protect the civilian population, and every day, every strike we conduct makes the difference. And with that, I'm happy to take your questions. Thank you.
then we will move on to Naples, and then we will come back to Brussels. So first, in Brussels, please. Yes.
Thank you very much, General. The weekend we heard about some news that there were some planes, aeroplanes in the air. Aeroplanes from Gaddafi regime signed with the Red Cross. How is it possible that there will be almost some aeroplanes in the air? We know Gaddafi has no more aeroplanes.
Thank you for the question. As a matter of fact, all these I read the reports. We had lots of reports talking about helicopters wearing the Red Cross on them, but we have no evidence at all. What I can say, it's been 5 days since we last had the last report talking about helicopters overflying Libya. We know for sure that the Libyan jets are not flying their skies anymore.
And please identify yourself, because
Red Cross, a military aircraft, is breaching the international laws and will not be accepted.
Kenny Clash from German television, ZDF. We had reports that governmental buildings in Tripolis were bombed. Can you give us some more information about which building were bombed and whether Gaddafi was in this area too, or whether he was an aim to? That's the first part of my question. And if you allow a second one, Carmen just introduced that there were reports in The Guardian, Le Monde, and some other important newspapers that there was a ship between Lampedusa and Libya, and there was a helicopter above that ship, and the refugees said it just dropped some bottles of water and some food, but then was never seen again. There was no help from NATO. Can you give us some more information about that?
Okay, I will start from answering the second part of the question. And I've read the reports too, talking about this affair, but I can say that there is no absolute evidence of NATO ships being involved in such events. What I can tell you for sure, that in case NATO ships were directly involved in such events, the NATO captains of the ship will do everything in their power to ensure that their behavior is according to the international maritime laws and traditions. Now let's go back to the first part. I'm not sure I catch the exact meaning of the question. Could you please repeat it?
I repeat it. It's just that we had reports that governmental buildings of President Gaddafi were attacked. Can you give us some information which kind of buildings these were and what the NATO goals were?
Okay, all the targets, as I said before during my speech, all NATO targets are military targets, which means that the targets we've been hitting, and it happened also last night in Tripoli, are command and control bunkers. And again, just to make clear the stuff that NATO is not targeting individuals. It's not in our mandate. Our mandate is to protect civilian population from attacks or from the threat of attacks by Gaddafi regime forces.
Next question there. It's a follow-up question. And those reports about the buildings bombed in Tripoli last night, the Libyan government said one of those buildings was a children's center. Could you comment on that, please?
Well, again, I've read the reports, and I can tell you again that we have no evidence at all. We have no people on the ground, so we cannot confirm or deny the information which has been released by the Libyan government. What I can assure you is that the targets we're after are only command and control military sites, and those command and control sites are being targeted because they have a direct link with the violence being given to the Libyan populations.
Now, Rich, the next questions go to Naples, please.
Gaddafi non si è visto in pubblico da parecchio. approvi che Gheddafi è ancora vivo? Non abbiamo alcuna prova, non sappiamo cosa sta facendo adesso, nessuna informazione confermata. It's okay.
And the answer was, maybe you want to repeat the answer in English, General?
Benghazi.
First and for second, you just say that there's no, you have not people on the ground, so how can you assure that you are just targeting military objects, not others? Thank you.
Okay, talking about situation in Benghazi, and what I would say in the eastern part of the country, the situation is relatively stable and calm, and NATO has succeeded in the last 4 to 5 weeks to stabilize the situation. I remind you that when NATO took off the operation, talking about the beginning of April, the end of March, the situation in Ashdabaya, Brega, and Benghazi was highly critical, and civilian people were being slaughtered by regime forces. So the first concern with NATO operations during the first week have been to stabilize the situation, and now the situation there is more than calm and stable. And what was the second part of the question, please?
By the way, you just said that there's no people on the ground in Tripoli, so how can you confirm that there's not been heated civilian targets? How can you assure?
We have the best information possible that we have. We know exactly which are the military sites, and we know for sure which are military sites and which are not, and we only are after the command and control structure, because as I said before, the first part of the operation has been dedicated to calm down the situation, to stabilize the situation, and to stop slaughtering all the civilians. And once done that, in a broader campaign design, now NATO is taking out the capacity of Mr. Gheddafi to give orders to his troop to slaughter civilians. That's why we're after command and control centers, and they're all military command and control centers.
We have one more. Good morning. I'm Paolo Santa Lucia from the Associated Press. Let me go back to a question that has been already posed, but to have a little bit more details about this migrant ship. Because we had the chance to do an interview this morning with an Eritrean father who has been called by these migrants before they died. And he said that he called the NATO command in Naples to alert the Naples command that there was this ship adrift. And there are other reports saying that also the Coast Guard, the Italian Coast Guard, was aware of the position of this ship. So, according to you, how does it come that nobody knew about it and NATO didn't know about it?
Well, again, you're talking about some reports that I've read, but again, we have no evidence of NATO being directly involved in such operations. That what I can tell you for sure, that every time NATO has been directly involved in such events, and it happened at least a couple of times at the end of March, the NATO ship's captain did all he had to do according to the international maritime laws and traditions to rescue the people. So
you didn't receive any alert on this ship?
I have no evidence of having received such alerts.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now we move back to Brussels. Please, here.
Yes, I'm Brooke Singer, Jane's Defense. I wanted to come back to this incident of killing the snipers that you did. If you have no people on the ground, then how do you know that the snipers you hit with precision bombs were not rebels or Misrata citizens taking revenge on Gaddafi forces and their civilian sympathizers? Thank you.
Okay, all our actions are based on solid informations that we have. So, to the best of our knowledges, those troops it was more than clear that those troops were attacking civilians downtown Misrata.
Uh, Yes, you said troops, but if you fire a bomb on a person inside a building, you can't tell if he's wearing a uniform or not.
I remind you that the mandate that we've been given by United Nations is to protect civilians from the attacks or from the threat of attacks. And to the best of our knowledge, those people up there in that roof were shelling at civilians. And that's more than enough for to fulfill the UN mandate.
Can you please give us a bit of details about when you say we will behave according to the rules and the traditions if we meet the migrants? When you say rescue, you mean you give them food and water, or do they stand a chance to board a NATO ship if their ship is in distress? Do they have any chance to do that? If they get on a ship, do they have a chance to apply for declare that they want to apply for asylum? And finally, do you have any legal base or anything to bring people back to Tunisia, as allegedly some of these groups were offered to by NATO ships?
Well, that's an excellent question, but as you will realize from my dressing, I'm not an expert in maritime rules and laws. So what I can tell you, that the NATO captains know exactly what to do in such situations. And again, we should base all the assumptions on real facts and not on those reports. I mean, we've heard lots of reports. So first, it's a good idea to double check them. But again, when NATO has been directly involved, nobody has complained about that.
As the General just said, are fully aware of the responsibilities under the international maritime law, and we will continue doing everything in line with the international maritime law. So this needs to be clear.
David Brunstrom from Reuters. I wonder if we could just follow up on the question that was asked earlier in Italy, because we didn't actually hear the response to it, which was, I think, do you have any evidence to suggest whether Gaddafi is alive or dead at this stage?
Well, I say again, we have no evidence about what Mr. Gaddafi is doing right now. And I tell you the truth, we're not really interested in what he's doing. Our mandate is to protect civilians from the attacks and from the threat of attacks, so we're not looking after individuals.
To add that we are not targeting specific individuals, but solely military targets. Solely military targets. Next question. Please, at the end.
Consul from TM News. My question is quite simple. Do you consider that Mr. Gaddafi is an objective as command and control, not as an individual? Because if you say we are not targeting individuals, I understand, but it's hard for me to understand that Gaddafi is not a command and control center, even if it is an individual and not a site.
Right. No, again, our mandate is clear: to protect the population from the attacks. So NATO is not targeting individuals. No individuals is a target for NATO. We only look after command and control center because we want the targets we are after is to stop Mr. Gaddafi to give orders to his troops to keep slaughtering the civilians and to prevent humanitarian aid to enter the country. So again, we're not really interested in individuals, not in Mr. Gaddafi's life. We're after the command and control centers as a second part of the broad campaign I was talking about. First, we had to stabilize the situation in most parts of the country, and then we could move to the next step, which is preventing the regime forces to give orders to the troops on the field.
We have time for two more questions, one in Naples, one in Brussels. Naples, Rich?
Thank you. I'm again Santa Paolo Santa Lucia from Associated Press. Last week in Rome, there has been the contact group for Libya, and the French Foreign Affairs Minister Juppé said that, according to him, the mission Unified Protector could last still a few months. Can you comment on this? Do you think is it just a matter of months?
Well, guy, I'm not really bothered about that, but we say we know perfectly which is our end state. Until the three main objectives are met, which means all attacks and threats against the civilian population has ended, all the regime forces have returned to their base, and full and unhindered access to humanitarian aid is granted, the mission will keep on. So we'll keep the pressure on Gaddafi regime until these three objectives are met. Of course, the sooner the better for civilian population, that's for sure.
Thank you.
With the rest of the members of the contact group in the sense that we would like to see an end of this crisis as soon as possible, as the general just said. Last question, please.
Yes, Jean-Pierre Strogonsov, the French newspaper Le Monde. A last follow-up on this incident, this death of 62 migrants. We heard yesterday that NATO was opening an inquiry on the incident. What is the inquiry precisely going about? Is it to determine precisely what were the NATO vessels cruising in this zone? And was it also to determine the nationality of the planes or helicopters that flew over the small boat?
Well, if you may, I take this again. Well, as the general just said, NATO has reviewed all relevant information available, so we have already looked into that, and we can find no evidence whatsoever of any NATO ships being involved in this tragic incident reported by The Guardian. And the only aircraft carrier attached to the NATO mission at the time in question, which is the 29th and the 30th of March, was an aircraft carrier which was operating more than 100 nautical miles away from the possible location of the migrant vessel. In addition to that, NATO units at sea neither saw nor heard any trace of distress calls from that area. This is all we have to say about this. We looked into this, and there is no evidence. Basically, NATO was not involved because it had no signs. Okay? Well, the last question now.
Maybe NATO was not involved, but does NATO have any evidence whether there were any other helicopters from other nations were involved? Because, well, the people on board must have seen something.
As I said, NATO units at sea neither saw nor heard any trace of distress calls from that area in the period of time described by the newspaper. That's all we have to say. Thank you very much for coming. See you soon.
Good afternoon, Wing Commander Peter Clark. Just to follow up on the debate, let's call it a debate, on the role of NATO vessels in the safety of migrants attempting to escape the Gaddafi regime. There were a number of allegations, almost, of NATO involvement or not involvement in the incident reported in The Guardian. I've selected these pictures because they predate that incident, but they give a general feel for how we deal with this situation when we come across it. We've already given general information, and it's been covered in the briefing, of the duty of all shipping, including NATO warships, under the SOLAS regulations. But these photographs just give you an idea and a flavour of the sort of assistance we do render to migrant vessels to illustrate our commitment to those SOLAS regulations. On the 26th of March, the Italian ship Etna, which was under NATO command in support of the arms embargo, assisted a vessel of around 150 people on board, including women and children. And you can see the sort of vessel and how crowded these vessels are when they leave the Gaddafi regime. The vessel had already received assistance from another NATO ship by the provision of food and water, but after the vessel came into distress and the engine failed, the Etna sent teams, including medical professionals, to assist the passengers. The Etna provided sick bay care for a newborn baby and mother before flying them to Lampedusa for transfer to the hospital. And the Etna remained alongside the vessel as all passengers were evacuated by Coast Guard vessels who had been summoned by the Etna to come and assist. The helicopter returned to the Etna and then took a second woman who was already undergoing contractions to Lampedusa for transfer to the same hospital. This operation saved a total of 283 people. I think there was a second incident within the same day, so over a 36-hour period, we saved 283 people from two vessels like that by coming to their assistance when they had engine failure. The situation with the migrants reported in The Guardian yesterday was tragic, but as we've already said, we have thoroughly investigated and we can find no evidence that we were made aware of that situation. None of our warships or assets report that they were the helicopter reported in the newspaper. We can't speak for other nations. I know other nations have spoken for themselves and said that they were not involved and were not aware. But I would add that this story is not new, despite the exclusive tag. If you want to go to La Repubblica around about the 15th of April, you'll see the same story reported with different facts, with different nationalities, with different vessels. So there is a lot of speculation and a lot has been made of something that seems to be a very moving story in both senses of the word over the last 3 weeks. But we do take these our responsibilities seriously. Not just, I mean, this area is not just have NATO vessels. There are just under 20 NATO vessels. But don't forget that there is a huge amount of commercial shipping and other military vessels passing through that area. All we can speak for are the NATO vessels under our command. We were not involved in that incident, tragic though it was. And when we are involved, as you can see, we do take it very seriously and we take our responsibilities probably more seriously than some of the commercial shipping, because that's what we're there for, the protection of civilians at sea and on shore.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Those pictures are available for you straight after the press conference.
Yeah. And on the web. Thank you so much.